Leaves you, me, for the next 3 Sundays. And before I start, I guess I need to tell you some things that has kind of led me to what I'm going to be talking about today. I'm going to be talking about faith. And, you know, as Christians, we talk about faith all the time. It's something that is supposed to characterize us as Christians, but I don't know how many of us, and I don't even mean to sound demeaning in any way, but I'm including myself in this, how many of us really understand what true faith is? I've been going to CR, Celebrate Recovery Step Study, for a few months now, and I have been struggling with my big vice, hang-up, bad habit is overeating. It's food. I love food. I don't know why God gave me such a love for food, but he did. And like anything else, we can overdo it, and I have been definitely overdoing it. As a result, like 7, 8 years ago, I was diagnosed with diabetes, and so I've been dealing with that for the last few years. But a few weeks ago, on a Wednesday, I just got to a point where I was not functioning. I could not think. I could not operate. I was very tired, my mind was in such a blur and such a confusion that I had to call up my youth leaders and say, you guys got it tonight. I can't do it. I finally got out my tester because I had not been testing my blood. And my blood was close to 500. Now, if you're a diabetic, you know that is, yeah, you hear the sighs and moans, yeah. It was close to 500. And I've been diabetic for several years. I did not realize, after Tammy had done some research, she'd found out that with it being that high, she probably should have taken me to the hospital. I didn't go, but she probably should have. Anyway, I have had a real big kick in the butt. And I've come to the realization that I have no power over my addiction to food. And so this has led me, part of this has led me to the look at faith. What is faith? Also, as we've been reading through the New Testament, as we've been going through our 9-month program here, reading through the New Testament, I get to those parts where it talks about Jesus healing different people, and I see that there's always an element of faith involved in those parts. And we're going to talk more about that next week. But those two things have led me to really start taking an in-depth look at what faith really is. And as Christians, exactly what part does faith play in our lives? Because I'm going to say it again. I think that, especially American Christianity, I think that we have given lip service to faith, but I think we've really downplayed it, and we really don't understand exactly, or maybe we don't understand exactly what it is. The fact is, Christians are defined by faith. Paul says in two different places, in two different letters, he says that the righteous shall live by faith. In Romans 1:17, it says, for in the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. And in Galatians 3:11, he says, now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. As Christians, we are characterized, we are defined by faith. Now, you can say that about a lot of religions, because a lot of religions do involve faith. But I'm going to say today that the faith that we have as Christians is different than the faith that other religions have. I'm going to let that statement hang. What I want to start out by doing is really looking at the different definitions of what faith is. The world has a definition, maybe a couple definitions. Even Christians have a couple different definitions. In general, I would say that the first definition of faith is that it is a strong belief and or hope. This morning, I came in a little bit early. I was the first one here. My kids were so amazed. Because I'm usually not. Usually, Tim's here. Ken Wadley's here. tuning up guitars, getting ready to practice, but I got here early, and then Ken came in, and Ken said, is Tim coming? And I said, yeah, he's coming. He didn't call me or text me or email me. I know he's coming. But even though I said that, and I said it with some confidence, or at least it probably sounded like it was with some confidence, I still had a little bit of a doubt in back of my mind. Not because Tim is unreliable, but because we are human and things happen in this world. So I have faith that Tim is going to show up, but it isn't complete, total faith. It's a strong belief. It's a strong hope. I really was hoping he was going to show up because I can't do it without him. He is an awesome guitar player. I had a strong belief. I had a strong hope, but I was not 100% sure that he would come. Does that make sense? And I think that not only does the world kind of look at faith in this general sense, but I think that many Christians look at faith in this general sense too. And you're going to see that having a understanding of faith in this way actually can compromise our Christianity. I said this world is unreliable. We're human beings. Things happen. There is no way that we can have 100% faith in anything except for God himself. But we tend to carry this general definition over into our faith of God. Okay, so that's kind of a general definition. Now the world has another definition. Those who are particularly against Christianity or any religion, and they call it a blind belief and or hope. In fact, they look at it really as a suspension of our reason. If you're going to be involved in a religion, there is no evidence for what you believe. It's really, you are just a person who has suspended their reason, and you are living blindly in this hope that there is a God, that there is someone who is going to help you through your life, that there is maybe an afterlife that you can somehow earn your way to. You know, and the world looks at that and they say it's blind. It's not there. It's not real. And I know this because I teach religion and I read these textbooks. And even though they try to be unbiased, they are eventually biased because they are written by secular people who don't believe that religion is real. And so to them, it is. It is just a blind hope. Why would you even believe such a fable, such a myth? What they don't understand, I think, is that it is within human nature to live by faith. How many of you went to bed last night going, you know, I'm just not going to make any plans tomorrow because I just might not wake up, or the sun may not rise when I get up, or how many of you, when you woke up, before you got out of bed, you looked down at the floor and made sure that it was there? And just in case it was an illusion, you stuck your toe out there, felt it, gave it a little weight. None of us did that, right? We live by faith. We don't wonder if the floor is or isn't going to be there in the morning. We just, in fact, probably most of us aren't even thinking when we put our feet on the floor. We're thinking about coffee or something. But we're not thinking about whether the floor is going to be there or not. We do this all the time. You know, I get to thinking about this. You know, we all, most of us, drive these vehicles that weigh thousands of pounds. And there are other people out there that we don't even know. And we know that there are people who are addicted to substances, and people who drive out of anger, or they just don't care. We're constantly, every day we're out on the road, we're driving our thousands of pound vehicle, and we've got other people driving around us. And how many of us stop and think that maybe I shouldn't be doing this? I mean, you put faith in hundreds of people every day, that they're going to obey the traffic laws, that they're going to drive the way that it should, that their vehicle is going to work the way it should. But you don't even think about it. So I think it's funny that the world says this about faith, that it's blind, that it's a suspension of reason, and yet we as human beings tend to practice faith every day in very mundane ways. I think this definition of faith has influenced how some Christians actually look at faith. There's a view, and I'm going to tell you, people are going to disagree with me, but I believe that it is a very distorted view of faith. And that view that says that faith is really a spiritual principle that gets you what you want. All you have to do is believe it, and you'll receive it. Now, I think there's two reasons why American Christians have kind of bought into this idea of faith. I think one is because we are a people that really don't have to live by faith. If you think about it, most of us in this society have all of our needs met. Right? I mean, we have food on our table, we have a place to live, we have clothes on our back, we have cars to drive. We've got all that we need. In fact, America, I've said it before, I think America must be the only country that lives, that makes a living off of storing other people's garbage. What do we have to have faith for? Even the poor in this country know how to work the system. There are relatively few people in this country, I'm not going to say there aren't any, but I think there are relatively few people that are really, really so steeped in poverty that none of their needs aren't being met and that they have to live on faith. You know, we get people here at the church, or people calling the church all the time because they know how to work the system. And they call the church for money, for food, for anything like that. We tell them no, they're just going to call the next church. And they tell them no, they're just going to call the next church until finally someone actually ends up giving in to them. It happens all the time. So we live in a culture that has so much. So when people talk about faith, when Christians talk about faith, what does that exactly mean? I mean, I really don't have to trust in God. I'm saying this in a sense. I don't really don't have to trust in God for there to be food on my table. I don't have to trust in God for there to be a roof over my head. I don't really have to trust in God. And when it gets difficult and it looks like I'm not going to have food, or it looks like I'm not going to have clothing, something like that, we come up with some way by our own power to kind of answer those needs. And there's tons of different organizations out there that are willing to help out. So if we really don't have to depend on God for those type of things every day, then what is faith? Well, some clever people have come up with an argument, or clever-sounding arguments, that persuade people to believe that faith is some type of a spiritual force that, if applied correctly, like any other force in the world, if applied correctly, it's going to get you something. But here's the kicker. Then they take the world's definition and they apply it. Once you buy into that lie, then they tell you, but the only thing that can destroy your faith is doubt. Is to suspend your reason. Don't doubt. Don't question. Just believe. And as long as you just believe, you blindly believe, then God's going to grant every wish that you desire, because God wants us to be healthy and wealthy. And so the church has bought in to the definition that the world has really given. And if you begin to use your reason, you are being unfaithful and you're not going to get what you want. That is a real definition of faith within the Christian church. And it has even influenced people who are not in those denominations that teach that. So these are three definitions that we can look at, but they're definitions that are not true. Because when we look at the Bible, we get a whole different look at what faith is. I see two different characteristics from Scripture when we look at faith. The first one is faith is belief supported by evidence and produced by reason. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Now, right away, I've made this mistake at looking at this verse and saying, well, what are you talking about? That seems to be, to me, that there's a belief in something that we cannot see. Sure, that is what it's saying, but it's also saying it is an assurance and it is a conviction. How are we sure of anything or convinced about anything? Think about when you became a Christian. Did you just one day wake up and say, you know, I think I'm going to believe in Jesus today. I think I'm just going to give my life, I don't know anything about him, or I'm just going to give my life to him and just start following him and be a Christian today. I honestly, I don't think there's too many people who can say that. And even those who've grown up in the church, I think, you know, they might say, well, I've always been a Christian, but even then, there was a point in both of those scenarios where you had taken all of the evidence that you had collected, whether intentionally or not intentionally. You took all that evidence, you took all the persuasive arguments that you had friends telling you or the pastor telling you or what you've heard in church. You take all of those and you look at them and you examine them, and then based upon that, you step forward in faith and in belief. Or some people have claimed, and I'm not going to invalidate their claims, that some people claim that they've had some type of an experience that is beyond the normal natural experience. That God has somehow revealed himself to them in a way that is beyond just an intellectual reasoning. The fact is, though, that you still have taken whatever evidence that you've been given, and you've put it together, you've thought about it, and then you gave your life over to Christ. You became sure. You became convinced that this was the right thing. And now today, as Christians, we're supposed to be living sure and convinced that God can do anything, that God is all-powerful, that God is in control of our lives. But as humans, we tend to need a little bit more and a little bit more, and that's okay. In the Bible, it talks about us being in this process of perfection. We're constantly growing in our trust and our faith and our relationship with Christ. And so there's actually a principle that is just kind of a universal principle. It says that faith actually builds upon faith. So as we trust God, we first came to him, we gave our life to him, we trusted our life to him, he saved us from our sins. And then as we began to grow in our relationship with him, things began to happen. He begins to reveal himself more and more to us. We begin to have more evidence that builds upon evidence, and our faith grows and it becomes stronger. Right? But faith is belief supported by evidence, produced by reason, just as Hebrews says there. It is the assurance of things hoped for. It is the convictions of things not seen. Our evidence has led us to believe in things that we do not see yet, but we are sure of, and we have a strong expectation of. The other thing I see about faith is found in James. Faith is belief acted upon. And James puts it very, very simple. He says, for as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also a faith apart from works is dead. Faith is not just a strong belief and or hope. It is not suspension of reason. Faith is built upon evidence. It is produced by reason. And as a result, it is belief that is put into action. I was talking to my children yesterday about faith. And I said, you know, I believe that we have walked on the moon. But what is the difference between that belief that we walked on the moon and true faith? And my son kind of got it. He said, it doesn't affect your life. No, the fact that we walked on the moon has in no way has any bearing on my life. It's cool to know that we've done it. All right. I believe that we've done it. But honestly, it has no bearing on my life. But my son said, how about the astronaut, though? And I was like, oh, wow. My son's pretty smart. Because what he was saying was, well, what about the person who really believes that, and because he believes that, he becomes an astronaut. Makes sense. See, he took belief and he acted upon it, and now he has faith. He has so much faith that we've walked on the moon that person has decided himself to become an astronaut so that he can walk on the moon as well. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Okay? Faith is acting upon that belief. Now, what is belief? Well, belief is an assumption or perception of what is true. Sometimes we act on false beliefs, but it's still faith. Other times we act on true beliefs, and it's still faith. Faith is the acting on our belief. And as Christians, we are supposed to live by faith. I just pointed out those two verses, one in Romans, one in Galatians, where Paul says the righteous live by faith. We are righteous. Why are we righteous? Because Jesus Christ has made us righteous. He has made us right in God's eyes. So all of us, every person who claims to be a Christian, is righteous, and therefore, Paul says that we are to walk by faith. Now, let me ask you this. Do you walk by faith? Think about this. Don't just give a yes answer. Do you walk by faith? Do you daily walk by faith? Think about that. Does your belief in God and what God has done influence every aspect of your life? Think about that. We believe that God is true. He's real. He's all-powerful, all-seeing, all-knowing. He is ruler of the universe. We believe that he has this perfect law that he has given. And that man who is made in his image cannot live according to that perfect law on their own. And we believe what Paul writes about. He says that for that the wages of sin is death. Every man who breaks God's law sins. And he says for those wages, for that sin, our wages, what we deserve is death. But then he goes on to say, but the gift of salvation, the gift of eternal life is through Jesus Christ. We believe that, right? We believe that. And so we came to Christ, we gave our life to him, we said, Lord, take it. Not only, and if you notice, we don't only call him Savior, we call him Lord as well. Lord means master. So basically, as Christians, we've said, not only are you our Savior, but you are our master, because we understand we can't do this, and the only way that we can live by your law in any way is through your power, is through you living inside of us. Do we take that belief and do we allow it to influence every aspect of our life? I personally do not. And it's been obvious because I have allowed an addiction for food to control things that I do. So we are to live by faith. What does that really mean? Well, it means allowing belief to influence thinking, speech, and action. It's interesting that when you read through Paul, and we're going to be getting there in the next couple months here, but when you read through these letters of Paul, that he will go through and he will do what I just did. He will go through and give us reason for why we believe or what we believe, and then he will stop and say, therefore, because you believe this, since you believe this, this is what you need to do. And I'll give you an example here in Ephesians 4. Starting with 17, he says, now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But this is not the way you learn Christ. Assuming you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on your new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. And it goes on and on and on. What Paul says is, listen, you've come to believe these things. Now they need to influence your life. They need to influence the way that you think, the way that you speak, and what you do. In fact, they need to spur you to become more and more like Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2:21, Peter says, "For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps." So that you might follow in his steps. Living by faith means allowing what we believe to influence what we think, what we say, what we do. In essence, it is becoming more like Jesus himself. Again, ask the question, are you living by faith? Are you allowing your belief to influence every aspect of your life? There's another thing that I think living by faith means. It means trusting God daily to produce this desired change. Philippians 1:6 says, "I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." God has began a work in us. Do we believe that? He's began a work in us. He is taking us through a process of completion or perfection. It is God that does the work in us. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 through 24 says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, set you apart, make you holy, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it." Living by faith means allowing our belief to influence every aspect of our life. It means that we become more and more like Jesus Christ. It also means that we need to trust God to produce this change. The fact is, again, we are human beings. And we are incapable of any type of perfection or obedience to God without his help. Paul puts it this way. In Galatians 2:20, he says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Philippians 4:13 says, "I can do all things on my own." No, that's not what it says. "I can do all things through him who strengthens me." Living by faith means that there has to be a trust put in Jesus Christ, put in the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us, that he will enable us to do the things that God has called us to do. That really means that it is a daily, perhaps an hourly, decision, seeking of God, that takes place on our part. I have to think about that. How many of us really practice true faith on a daily basis? Or a weekly basis? Or a monthly basis? I think there are times, even in my life, I look at my life and I think there are times that I actually allow days and perhaps weeks to go by without really putting my faith in Christ and really letting him work. I've been struggling with this overeating since I was out of high school. 1992, I was a wrestler. I weighed 157 pounds. I was ranked fifth in state. 1993, I was probably like 200 pounds. 1994, I was probably like 250. By the end of 1994, I was 285. I did not put my faith in Christ. I put my faith in delicious tasting food. Now I'm struggling. Now, I said that there's this universal principle about faith. It's one that cannot be denied whether you are secular or Christian. The universal truth is that faith builds upon faith. And I already kind of explained that once you've put your faith, I was thinking about it this way. You know, I love watching movies, and I can't point one out specifically, but I know there are points in some movies where it comes to where everybody has to rely on this one person, you know? And there's people who don't know this person very well, and they're saying, well, can we really trust him? Can we really do it? Can he get us through this? You know, and there's always another person who says, man, I've been with him for years. We've done this hundreds of times. He can do it. Why? Because that person has experienced him doing that over and over and over. You know, we're watching the Olympics. Many of you are watching the Olympics. And I was just, I'm kind of amazed by the bobsled teams. Four members? And number one, it kind of caught my attention when every time they talk about the bobsled team, they're really talking about the leader. They're saying he instead of them, you know. But then I got to thinking about, as the leader, you have to, not only are you having to navigate, but you have to trust the guys behind you. Really, they're there just to get you going, I think. And they do, and they lean into the curves and stuff. But I think that's their main point, is to really kind of get you going down. And they go flying like over 90 miles an hour down these tracks. It's crazy. Well, they all have to trust each other. You know, I'm thinking the first time that they decided they wanted to be bobsledders, I'm thinking you guys are crazy, because there's no way I would ever get in a bobsled and go 90 miles an hour down some track. But these guys, they had to, I imagine they had to really kind of build up their faith that they were going to be able to do this. They had to build up a faith in their team, that they were going to be able to help navigate that bobsled. The team had to build up their faith in their leader, that he was going to be able to, you know, they have their heads down the whole time. The leader's the only one that has their head up, you know. So they have to ride this, however long of a course it is, 90 miles an hour with their heads down and not seeing anything. That's kind of crazy. But, you know, they've done it so many times that they don't even think about it anymore. They have complete trust and faith in their leader. Faith builds upon faith. It's a universal principle. Our faith grows as we daily trust God to help us change according to our beliefs about Him. You know, what it really starts with, and I feel like we've done a lot of new Christians a complete disservice because we have not helped them understand this principle. They realize that they're sinners. They realize that they're in need of a Savior. They even realize that there really should be a change in their life. But I don't know how many of them really realize that it's a daily, constant, daily struggle of going to God and saying, Lord, I need your help. I need your help. I need your help. And putting their trust in Him and allowing Him to work. And a lot of us, we were never taught that. And we've grown up. We've been Christians for years. And we've grown up in Christ not having truly understood that. I don't know how many people I talk to who say the same thing, including me. I don't read my Bible daily. I struggle with reading my Bible daily. I struggle with having any real quality prayer time with Christ daily. I would say there's a majority of us in here who say the exact same thing. And part of it, I think, is because we haven't been encouraged to, right when we became Christians, we weren't encouraged to put this into practice. Daily seeking God, maybe even hourly seeking God, depending on who you are, seeking God for His strength, for His will to be done, instead of trying to do things on our own strength or trying to do self-will. Every time that we put our faith in Christ and He answers us, it's just another piece of evidence that helps strengthen our faith. And pretty soon, we're the bobsled team with our heads down, going down a track 90 miles an hour, trusting God to hit every turn. Faith builds upon faith. The next couple of weeks, I want to be talking about exactly what we can do to help our faith grow as Christians. Right now, I just want to present you with the question. Of whether you really understand what faith is. Does your faith characterize your life, your daily life? Do you want, as a Christian, for faith to characterize your daily life? I want you to think about those questions. I want you to contemplate them. I don't want you just to leave today, go to the closest restaurant, enjoy your food. I'm going to be having a salad. I don't want you to leave today not thinking about this. We call ourselves Christians. You know, in the early church, the church wasn't called, the faith wasn't called Christianity. It was called the faith. Because Christians were characterized by faith. Are you characterized by faith? It begins with seeking God daily, putting aside ourselves, and trusting Him to make us more like Jesus Christ. That's where it begins. Next couple of weeks, we're going to be talking about some specific ways. But right now, it just begins. If you find yourself not really having a life that is characterized by faith, this is where it begins. Father, help me. You fill in the blank. It's my desire that the people of KCC will be a people of faith. That when people in the outside world look at us, at any member of Kingman Christian Church, they would say, there's a person that lives by faith. And that we would not be ashamed of that, but we would embrace it wholeheartedly. That's my hope. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father God, we come before You today as a body of believers, people who committed themselves to this local church. I think every one of us has some level of understanding of what faith is. But all of us are in need of a faith that is growing and deepening in You. We have people who are new in their relationship with You. We have people who've been walking years and years with You. All of us are in need of deepening and growing faith. So Lord, help us to live lives that are characterized by faith. Define who we are by our faith in You. Thank You, Lord. Thank You so much for being our God, for revealing to us the truth, for saving our souls, and for being master of our lives. Thank You. It is in Your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, keep Lou in your thoughts, please. As you think about it, pray for him. And we will see you next week.